So for the past few weeks, we've been talking about heaven. We've been kind of digging into what heaven is going to look like. And as we've been doing this, it's reminded me of a time when I was working at Papa John's, and I was working with a guy, and he came up to me, and he just started a conversation with me. He said, "Matt, you want to go to heaven when you die, right?" And I said, "Well, yeah, that's the plan." And he says, "But why do you want to go to heaven when you die?" And I tried to explain things to him, and he goes, but what is heaven going to be like? Because, you know, the idea of spending eternity with God, he just couldn't comprehend that. He goes, what's heaven going to be like? I said, "Okay, let me put it this way. Do you remember what it was like to hold your daughter for the very first time?" And he looks at me and goes, "Yeah, I remember that." I said, "You remember how awesome it felt to hold your daughter, your newborn, firstborn daughter, and to hold her and to look at her?" "Yeah." "Is there any way that I could have explained to you what that was going to feel like and it would have made any sense?" He says, "There's no way you could have explained that to me. But you knew it was going to be good, right?" "Well, yeah, I knew it was going to be good." "That's heaven. I can't explain everything about it. I don't have the words to explain how awesome heaven is going to be, but I know I want to be there." That's the idea of heaven, and that's what we're trying to get. We're trying to use our limited communication abilities to discuss with you what heaven is going to be like and why it's going to be so cool. And today we're going to be talking about the resurrection. So Byron looks at his schedule and he puts all these things together and he goes, "All right, the resurrection. I think I'm taking that Sunday off and leaving that for Matt." So I'm going to do my best to not turn this into a seminary lecture, because that's what I've really enjoyed, reading books and going through stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to turn into a seminary prof and it's not going to be great. But we're going to talk about the resurrection today. And it's interesting, this idea of the resurrection, because when I was younger, the idea of the resurrection, of my resurrection, really didn't have any purpose to me. It was just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to raise from the dead. You know, I'm going to be able to chill with Jesus. Everything's going to be great. It really didn't have any meaning to me, because I was young and I knew everything and my body was just awesome and I could do whatever I wanted. And Jennifer used to laugh at me when I would do stuff. And she would say, "Just wait till you hit 40. And let me tell you, the day I hit 40, the resurrection meant a lot more to me. I woke up the next day, I'd done something, I don't even remember what we were doing. I wake up and I'm like, man, I'm kind of sore. Oh wait, I'm 40 now. She was right. Plantar fasciitis hit in one foot, and I had to suffer with that for a couple months, and then I got over that, and it went to the other foot, and I'm like, dear Jesus, come back now, because this hurts. The idea of the resurrection, it really became meaningful for me. So before, as we get into this, let's talk about what life is like and why we need the resurrection. So why do we need a resurrection? This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. What am I saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Our sinful bodies cannot inherit. They cannot enter into heaven. It's a product of the curse that we have brought sin into our bodies. And since we live in this sinful flesh, we can't enter into heaven. We cannot, with these bodies, go and spend eternity with Jesus. Something is going to have to change. Something is going to have to be different. This material that we carry around doesn't get to go to heaven. Now, Byron he's mentioned this and he's kind of covered this, that here Paul says that we're like seeds that grow into something different. And he's used the acorn to the oak tree analogy. And he has said that that he has oftentimes, he had thought in his past that when he gets his new body, that he wants to look like The Rock. He wants to look like Dwayne Johnson. But here's the concept of that is, if you're an acorn looking at another acorn saying, when I get raised from the dead, I want to look like that acorn, we've lost the concept of what our new bodies are going to be. We're not going to be little acorns. We're going to be mighty oak trees. No acorn in its right mind looks at a bigger acorn and an oak tree and says, nah, I'd rather still be that little acorn. We get the opportunity when we come back to have these glorious bodies. What are they going to be like? I don't know. But I know that they are going to be so much better than what we have right now. Paul goes on in Romans 8, and he says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit with us as a foretaste of the future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. See, God has promised us new bodies. God has promised us new. We look at this flesh that we have and we think, yeah. But then we look at what God has promised us and we're like, man, I really want that. I really want that upgrade. I really want to move to the next step. We also see here that Paul tells us that the world we live in is quite literally falling apart. You want proof that our world is falling apart? Basically, the entire state of California is on fire right now. You want proof that our world is falling apart? 1.1 million people have died due to COVID. 1.1 million people around the world have died due to COVID. In our recorded history, in the 3,500 years of recorded history, there have been 286 years of peace. In 3,500 years, we have had 286 years of peace. There have been 8,000 peace treaties signed and broken. Our world is falling apart. We are falling apart. We need God to come back. We need Jesus to come back and to give us new bodies because we have totally screwed up the ones that we have. We have totally messed up the world that he gave us. We need him to come back and to fix things. So when we look at the resurrection, we have this idea of like, who's going to be raised? So who will be raised at the resurrection? Jesus' words in John chapter 5 say, don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. You see, everyone will be raised. We get this idea as Christians that we like to think about what the resurrection is going to be like for us, and we think, well, we're going to be raised again. What's going to happen to everybody else? But Jesus says right here, all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son. So at the end of time, when Jesus comes back, everyone will be raised. The difference, though, is some of us will get rewarded and others will receive punishment. Some of us are coming back to the rewards. Some of us are coming back to the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Some are coming back to, I don't know who you are. Paul says in Philippians 2, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some of us are going to be kneeling with tears of joy, looking at the face of our Savior, man. Jesus, I am so glad you're back, and I cannot wait to spend eternity with you. I cannot wait to spend the rest of my life with you. I cannot wait. Others are going to be kneeling with tears of sorrow and pain, thinking, oh, shoot, I messed this one up. Because he says, everyone will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're getting ready to sing a song called Is He Worthy? We're getting ready to talk about the fact that, yes, our world is falling apart, and is Jesus worthy to come back and to fix it? Brothers and sisters, the answer unequivocally is yes, he is worthy. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you do. You are absolutely an awesome and amazing God. We thank you for the fact that you have promised us new bodies. You have promised us that you are going to come back, and that you are going to bring us all with you, and that we get to spend eternity with you. And I can't wait. Thank you that though we live in a world that is falling apart, you are not. We pray that you be with us right now as we come to worship you, that you would guide our hearts and bring us closer to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You imagine what it's going to be like to worship in heaven when we're not just singing about God, we actually get to sing to God. I'm not much into worship. You know, I'd rather hear a nice, good sermon, but sometimes, whew, gets me going a little bit. All right, so what's life going to be like after the resurrection? What will it be like after the resurrection? The simple answer is IDK. I do not know. I cannot stand here and tell you, this is what we're going to do every day. This is what we're going to be like. This is how things are going to work. I don't know. But I don't care. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, but someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? Now, you can read this. This was probably meant to sound something like, how can a decayed body rise again? And it's a thought we've all had, like if I get buried and my body like turns to worm food, or even if I've been cremated, what's going to happen? What's my body going to be like after it's been decayed or things have happened to it? And this is Paul's answer to that. What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put into the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you were planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. You see, we are seeds that grow into something glorious. We've talked about this already, that we are the acorn, and we're going to be the oak tree. That we can't look at ourselves as the acorns and say, I wonder as an acorn how I'm going to operate in heaven, because we're not going to be acorns. We're going to be oak trees. I don't have to worry about, as this little bitty thing, what am I going to do? I'm going to be this glorious thing, and how am I going to serve my God for eternity as this big oak tree? Because we are going to be something glorious. Jesus tells us that he's going to prepare a place for us, and that we get to be like him. Our bodies will be like his body. I can't wait for that. I cannot wait for the opportunity to. I don't have to worry about all this other stuff. I get the opportunity to be like, man, I get to be forever with God, and I get to be like Jesus. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait for that. Paul says in Philippians, he says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. See, Paul says to us there, hey, we're weak, we're mortal. But when Jesus comes back, we're not going to be weak. We're not going to be mortal. We're not going to be broken. All of the things that are affecting us today, they won't matter because Jesus is going to sweep all that away. He's going to say, that stuff doesn't happen anymore. Don't worry about it. You're with me. Your weak body, it's perfect now. Why? Because Jesus made it perfect for us. Paul says, he ends 1 Corinthians 15 with this. He says, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? I got the opportunity to, several years ago, go to my aunt's funeral. My aunt's funeral was a worship service where we just happened to be saying goodbye to my aunt. We had a lot of fun at this funeral. We sang I'll Fly Away, I Can Only Imagine, and I can remember we're singing I Can Only Imagine, and like my family, we're all like just bawling, you know, and it's not pretty crying, it's like we were full on crying. And we're just bawling. And Jennifer looks at me and she says, I am so jealous. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're so jealous. She goes, we're still stuck down here and she's up there praising God right now, face to face. Because she had this, she understood. When she died, she knew death isn't getting the victory here. Jesus is. And I fully believe she's up there right now praising Jesus. Her and my uncle, they're praising Jesus. Grandma and grandpa are up there. Everybody's up there just having a blast. Because Jesus says, man, I'm coming back. I'm gonna bring you new bodies. So what will we be like? I don't know, and I don't care. Because I know it's gonna be awesome. I know that the glorious body that he gives us is gonna be so much better than anything we can imagine here on earth. Now, anytime we talk about things like the resurrection, anytime we talk about anything, when it comes to the Bible, there's got to be this point where we stop and say, okay, that's great. That's good information. But what does it matter? Why does this matter to us? Why does a discussion about the resurrection matter to us as we're living today? The answer is the resurrection gives us hope. We get to live with God forever. As we live in a broken world, we have the hope of someday, I get to be with God forever, so it's okay. I can handle the stuff that's going on right now because I know someday I'm not going to have to handle this anymore, and it's all going to be good. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. When Paul writes this, man, stuff is falling apart in his world. The Romans, they made sport out of killing Christians. Like they would literally take them and throw them into the arena with hungry lions and stuff. And they would sit there and thousands of people would cheer as these wild animals were devouring Christians. Roman Emperor Nero, he loved to take Christians and he would impale them and cover them in tar and light them on fire so that he could see while he walked around in his gardens at night. Christians were not treated very well during the Roman Empire. While Paul is writing these words, Paul is telling these people, man, don't worry. Better things are coming. You've got hope because you will get to be with God forever. I'm looking forward to the resurrection because I am really looking forward to, I don't have to worry about the things that go on in this world. I don't have to worry about social distancing and masks in heaven. I don't have to worry about putting on my seatbelt every time I get in the car. Not because I'm a crazy driver, because I'm the best driver around the world. It's everybody else that drives like a crazy person. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to, because in heaven, I get to be with God forever. That is the joy the resurrection brings to us. I love the words of Job. Job says this in Job 19, that Job was going through some stuff. I mean, the first couple chapters of Job, you read that, and if you weren't depressed beforehand, you will be afterwards. But Job says this, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. After my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought." Job is to the point, his wife has already told him, just curse God and die. Like, seriously, just give up. And his thoughts are, my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to see my Redeemer again someday. You guys know what a Redeemer is. A Redeemer, to be redeemed means to buy back. To redeem means you are purchasing something that you already owned. You are buying something that has already been in your possession. It's exactly what Jesus does for us. See, we were his at creation. We were his at our birth. But we sold ourselves into slavery to sin. And Jesus came back and said, no, I don't want you to be a slave to sin anymore. I'm going to buy you back. And I'm going to buy you back at a terrible cost. I'm going to give my life for you so that you are no longer a slave to sin. And when I come back later, I'm going to give you a brand new body so that you can live with me forever. That's buying someone back. That is being redeemed. We've read these words from Paul already in Romans 8. He says, "And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory." See, a foretaste, that's like an appetizer. The Holy Spirit, I love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does some awesome and amazing things in our lives. The Holy Spirit is like onion rings. I know, you've never heard that. Theology of Matt, the Holy Spirit is like the onion rings of the Trinity. Having the Holy Spirit is a foretaste of future glory. Do you know why it's a foretaste of future glory? Because we have the Holy Spirit living in our lives right now as we are still confined to these sinful bodies in this sinful world. But we have the Holy Spirit in our lives right now, helping us, guiding us, directing us, and giving us hope. A good onion ring gives you hope that the good meal is getting ready to come out. Went to Red Robin last week. Oh man, they got some good onion rings. And I knew, when I was eating those good onion rings, I knew my cheeseburger was coming. See, the foretaste of our glory, because we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. See, when Jesus comes back, he's not gonna come back and we get to be the stepkids of God. We don't get to be the friend of the family that comes over and gets treated like family. He says, you come back, you're going to be full-fledged members of the family of God. I'm going to give you a new body, and you get to live with God forever in eternity. Man, I can't wait for that. Jennifer and I were laying in bed talking just last week. We were talking about heaven and how awesome we think heaven is going to be. And Jennifer loves to garden. She loves to dig in the dirt. She loves to dig in and plant flowers and stuff. That's her idea of fun. So she was like, you know, I can't wait to get to heaven and to be able to garden in heaven. Can't wait to get a shovel and to dig into that earth. And you know, if you dig into some nice, fertile, good earth, you can smell it. When you turn it over, you can just smell that rich soil. She said, I can't wait to go out and spend all day digging in the dirt and planting flowers. And then I said, yeah, and we're going to sit. When we get done with that, we're going to be sitting on our front porch. You know, it's going to be evening. We're going to be sitting on. Of course, there's going to be a cool breeze. I'm going to have a nice big glass of iced tea in my hand. It's heaven. I'm going to have a nice big glass of Mountain Dew in my hand. She's going to have a nice cup of bubbly water with a slice of lemon in it. And we're just going to be sitting there rocking in our chairs, praising God, looking out at the new creation that's around us. And as we sit there, Jesus is going to walk up and he's going to sit down in a rocking chair right next to us. And we're going to be like, man, Jesus, look at, you made this, but look at this. And Jesus is going to say, yeah, I remember when I made the chrysanthemum. I remember when I made the lily. I remember when I made the rose. I remember when I made all of these. We get to sit and just have a conversation with Jesus. And of course, I'm going to look over at Jesus. I'm going to say, Jesus, man, I've got to know. What were you thinking when you made the duck-billed platypus? Was this like a dare? Did Gabriel come to you and say, I bet you can't? Which is always a bad idea because Jesus can. And then I get the chance to ask my favorite question of Jesus. I know I'm going to ask this question probably a billion times, and I'm never going to get tired of hearing the answer. I'm going to say, Jesus, what were you thinking when you went up on the cross for me? What were you thinking when you died for me? We get to take an appetizer right now. We get to take the communion right now. We get a glimpse, a foretaste of the glory that Jesus has for us. We have this representation of Jesus' love for us. The wafer that's in here that represents his body that he willingly gave for us, knowing full well that he was coming back and was going to bring a new body for us. The juice that represents his blood that he so willingly shed for us. We get the opportunity right now to praise and worship him as a glimpse of what it's going to be like to praise and worship him in heaven face to face. Man, and I can't wait. Let's pray. Dear God, you are worthy. There's no question in my mind that you are worthy. A God that loves us so much that you would come down and die for us and promise us new bodies. And that's a, wow. You are worthy, and there's no question of that. God, we just want to take this time right now to ponder that, to think on, to worship you through this time. Pray that you'd be with us and guide us right now as we take this communion and think of you. God, I pray that you'd be with us right now in this time. It's in Jesus' most worthy name we pray. Amen.